Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time. Coming up, Dom's Money Melody, always a wild ride. And let's see, is it again today? Yes, it is a $50 gift card to the Metro Diner. These are very prized. All week long, we'll have them. Greg Rothman is just a great patriot, head of the Republican state senator in Pennsylvania. And I saw his complaint. Now, the Daily News, the Inquirer, and this is all psychological. When we have the great Scott Presler on, when you look at likely voters, people that have voted, et cetera, we have closed the gap from well over a million down to a very smallish number. So the Inquirer now and their people are trying to make us believe that we're not close, that Democrats are surging back ahead, something of that nature. Why is it important? Remember the psychology when we turned Bucks County red? You know, we're having such fun as we count it down to that, how much it matters that psychologically you feel that you're in a race here. It propels people forward. It's not hopeless. Kind of like when they asked Greg about the Garrity Shapiro governor's race, among other things. So let's go to the head of the GOP in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania GOP chairman, Greg Rothman on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Greg, wanted to thank you again for Radiothon. We don't forget that was a very generous contribution. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for all you do, Dom. This Philadelphia Inquirer story, I mean, it's like I think I can't expect less of the mainstream media, and then they do stuff like this. And, it started with them reaching out to me and saying, hey, we're going to do a story about the voter registration changes in Pennsylvania. Look, when I started in politics in Pennsylvania, it was 1.5 million more Democrats than Republicans registered to vote. When I got elected the first time 10 years ago, it was 1.1 million. It is now, when you take active voters, those people who have voted once in the last four elections, it's under 45,000. However, in the last 3 months, the Democrats have actually started picking up some gains, and they've actually, you know, picked up like 4,000 more voters in the last 3 months. I mean, this is like the Philadelphia Inquirer doing a story that Iran's defense systems has really picked up the last day or two. I mean, where was the story for the last 10 years of the implosion of the Democratic Party?
Exactly.
A million votes.
Exactly.
And so
this is all about depressing
the
vote, depressing Republican shot here, even though Trump won here. I mean, come on.
It's like Orwellian. I mean, it's like you don't see what you really see. The Democratic Party in Pennsylvania has become a minority party in ideas and in execution and in the votes. And then the reporter tried to say to me, well, yes, but we understand that registration is not an indicator of election success. And I said, well, first of all, we won every election there was in 2024. And if someone walks into Citizens Bank Park wearing a Phillies hat, they're probably rooting for the Phillies. I mean, come on. Like, they're doing everything they can to try to promote this thing about, oh, the Democratic Party's on the move. Well, no. And I did say there are ebbs and flows.
Yes.
And, of course, when we stop bombing Iran, they're going to be able to come outside for a couple minutes. But voter registration is an indicator. It's an indicator of the party that has ideas. And Pennsylvania, it's still a purple state, but we won everything in 2024. And then 2025 was tough. It was tough because our voters didn't come out. And they have to come out in 2026, or according to Madeline Dean, one of your congressmen down there, who I used to serve in the House, the first thing they're going to do is impeach Donald Trump. They don't know what crime for you. It sounds like East Germany and the Stasi. Like, we know you're guilty. We'll show me the man. I'll show you the crime he's guilty of. Like, we'll just make it up. And so Trump voters have to come out and support the Republican ticket and all of our congressmen. And we have to keep the majority in the Senate and win back the House. And then I'd love to talk to you about Stacey Garrity and Jason Ritchie. But I'm sure you've got questions.
Oh, sure. Well, I do want to talk about Stacey and Josh Shapiro. And look, on the money scale, we knew Josh Shapiro was going to raise a tremendous amount of money. But I'm hoping the school choice thing with Josh Shapiro, we're up to 28 now, Greg, you may know this, but for listeners, one Democrat who said, yes, he will take the new money in the big, beautiful bill and give people a choice. And this guy, Josh Shapiro, continues to make it, it's mysterious. He has to figure this out. But other than that, what's the critical issue when this boils down, when people are really paying attention with Garrity and Josh Shapiro?
Yeah, and just to say something about the money, I mean, the Democratic Party has become the party of the billionaires. It's become the party of the West Coast, you know, the elite. They are not Wall Street and Silicon Valley. His campaign, more than 55% of his donations have come from out of our state, and a big chunk of his donations have come from billionaires. Like, this is the party that used to be of the working man. It's no longer. Now the Republican Party is a party, as we always have been, of the working families. But the critical thing to be, you know, this is why it's like a mind game that Josh Shapiro is going to run away with this. First of all, Stacey Garrity got more votes in her last election than Josh Shapiro has ever gotten any of his. He's never really been challenged. He's an extremely lucky politician because he generally doesn't have, I don't know if he's ever had a, not since he won for, well, I don't know if he's ever had a primary. I mean, he's certainly had elections, but
right.
He's never really been pushed back on. And there's a myth that Josh Shapiro is a moderate. He's not a moderate. What he is a really good politician who will figure out which way the wind's blowing and run in front of the group and say, I'm leading you. We joke, it may or may not be true, that his high school superlative at his high school was he was most likely to steal someone else's good idea.
Well, I think
but
that
when it comes to school
that
choice,
is true. I mean, look, even the people at the national level, even the Harris campaign and other grizzled politicians, they say this guy's asking about the artwork there. It's going to be in the vice presidential thing. They couldn't believe.
Well, yeah. And even worse, Dom, he was offended so much that they asked him if he was an Israeli spy or if he was a dual agent. He was offended so much by that comment, which, by the way, I would be offended by, too.
Yeah.
He was offended by so much that 2 days later he went to Philadelphia and led that rally for her.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, but school choice is such a big issue because this is a man who went on Fox News. Josh Shapiro went on Fox News and said, I believe that every child of God in Pennsylvania deserves a shot. That's why I support school choice. And then the legislature handed him a $10 million, which isn't a lot in a $50 billion budget, a $10 million lifeline scholarships so the kids in the worst school could get out and go to another school. He line-item vetoed it. After it passed the House and the Senate, he line-item vetoed it out, the $10 million. I mean, total betrayal. So I guess every child of God in Pennsylvania doesn't deserve a shot. But I also think he realized that, you know, he is so, if he wants to be president, which he clearly does, he has got to make sure that he worships at the altar of the left-wing teacher unions, too, the hardcore teachers unions. And he offended them by saying that every child of God deserves a shot, and that's why he supports school choice. So I think that's going to come back. Pennsylvania has an incredible history of upsets. I mean, if you think about Harris Wofford beating Dick Thornburg back in 1991, Rick Santorum beating Harris Wofford in 94, you know, Stacey Garrity beat Joe Torricella. Mm-hmm. She was outspent 12-1 for treasurer in her first campaign. And then think about this. The greatest upset in probably modern human era was when we, the United States, beat the British at Valley Forge.
There you go. We got that rolling in there. So, Greg, for all that good stuff with the Republican Party and to get involved, where do people go?
PAGOP.org. And by the way, get people registered. If you've got a friend or a coworker, someone you go to church with, someone you play sports with, a family member, 18-year-olds, get out and vote. So the Inquirer started this story out by saying, hunters, period, churchgoers, period, felons. These are the groups the Republican Party is targeting to win back the majority. Now, look, we are absolutely going after hunters and churchgoers. And Scott Pressler may have made a comment about felons.
Yeah. Because
obviously, President Trump has led the way on, led the way on justice reform and,
yes,
and reformation. We're the party of grace and forgiveness. But I mean, come on. That's to try to equate the three of those three in one group. It was just a really, really low position to take. But I guess that's what we expect for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And I want you to know, when I became chairman of the party, said we're going to open our meetings to the press. The press can come and hear what we're talking mm-hmm. about. And that's what they do. They sat in on a training session and then wrote the hit piece. But, you know, we know what we're up against, and we're just going to keep moving forward. But, you know, PAGOP.org, we'd love the help of your listeners. We appreciate all you do. And, you know, if you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. If you've got friends who aren't registered to vote, 30% of the people out there that should be voting with us aren't registered to vote. So we still
Absolutely.
Need to get registered to vote.
Great work, Greg. Thank you. And again, thanks for that contribution. To be continued. Thanks, Greg.
You got it, Don. Take care.
All right, Greg Rothman here right now because we got Larry the K on deck. Let's go to...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
All right, we have a $50 gift card to the Great Metro Diner. I'll give you more details on what you can get with that in a second. But Henry, what do you have today?
Yeah, Dom. So on the side question, we're asking for those old-time breakthroughs you'd like to have been on the fly on the wall for.
Right.
So, frankly, I'm going to play you The Doors, Break On Through mm-hmm. to the Other Side.
Right.
But it's going to be a cover version. I want to know the name of this cover band. A little bit about this cover band formed down in San Diego in the late 80s, early 90s. Couldn't really figure out their name until they got sued by another right. competitor saying, hey, we have the same name. You can't use that. So they had to change their name. They decided to model themselves, at least the name, after a motor oil company. And we're just using the initials of that motor oil company before expanding out and settling on their true name. So I'm going to play you that band today. I want to know the name of the band covering Break On Through to the Other Side. Let's take a listen.
All right, good choice. Matching up the question, be the first one in. You get that $50 gift card to the Metro Diner. Then Larry Krasner from the airport. 855-839-1210.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
All right. Today's side question, a breakthrough you'd like to be at that could be of any level possible, and that plays in to today's Dom's Money Melody. Let's hear the clue.
Inspired by a motor oil company.
All right. We're looking for the name of the band, the cover of this song. By the way, you get a $50 gift card all this week to the Metro Diner. Stop into Metro Diner today and catch that seafood offerings, including the new limited-time Crab Cake Benedicts, the fan-favorite fish and chips, my favorite, the flavorful teriyaki salmon bowl. And don't forget, Easter is early, very early this year. Metro's heat and serve Easter dinners for 1, 4, or 8. Hassle-free way to enjoy the holiday with loved ones. Visit metrodiner.com to learn more or visit them. A lot of locations. Great spot. $50 gift card. Let's try Sal in Skip Pack on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Sal, good afternoon. Who's the cover band?
Hey, Dom, I think that's STP, Stone Temple Pilots.
All right. Very nicely played. Sal, enjoy Metro Diner for either Easter or daily with a $50 gift card. Anything more on the band, Henry?
No, that was it. I was trying to be a little vague, but yeah, they broke through in around 1992 with their first album, Core.
Okie doke. All right. So we're waiting on Larry Krasner from the airport. You may remember before it was both Krasner and Rochelle Bilal. Who opened Fire on Ice and made international news. Maybe Bilal even more than Krasner. They better not come to Philadelphia. Her sheriffs will be out there this dope of dopes, who yesterday we told you about Deeds. Big finance here of companies investing in Philadelphia that goes back 2 years, and she just refuses to do the paperwork to get these going. And it goes on. Krasner, of course, beyond insufferable. He's at the airport, and according to the release they put out, they'll be interviewing travelers about their feelings on ICE. How many travelers do you think they'll speak to or put on? The Working Families Party Socialist Group, they're there with him. And again, Krasner has, I still think, a reasonable chance he might run for mayor. And his play is to go after Sherelle Parker, who we let off the show with criticizing today, for this progressive notion of taxing Uber and Lyft, and also giving $3 million in trains passes if you're some kind of school employee. They shouldn't have to pay to go to work. That's not radical enough. Krasner would go after her from the left, essentially running against Trump. So this is a big moment because this is the first time in a very public way that they know where ICE is. And I believe, at least from the film I've seen today, I don't know, maybe there's 8 or 10 ICE agents patrolling the exits and throughout the airport to kind of ease things up a bit so that TSA can do their job more thoroughly and easily, kind of relieving them. And so far today on the airports, it has been meds and meds. Houston still looks bad. Atlanta looks a lot better based upon the morning rush, at least according to CNN even and others. So this is a big moment because of ICE doing their job, walking around the airport. I don't believe they have masks on. But in Philadelphia, there is the mob mentality, and Krasner is the all-time white savior who plays into that. So as soon as he starts up his conference there, and I particularly want to hear the travelers, for you to hear that as he brings them on, we'll go to it. 855-839-1210, that's how you get on board. The side question today, coming off this scientist who had a breakthrough moment about where do living objects come from? Do they come from another living object or do they come there on their own? And we've had just great ones on Twitter. A moment you'd like to be there when the breakthrough happened, or at least was put into play, like Viagra was one. Dan in Richboro. Dan on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. I will say that I'm in a really cool place that you abhor, which is the Pennsylvania DOT King of Prussia location, live on report, been in line 40 minutes, got another hour and a half to get my real ID. I thought you would appreciate that.
Yeah, why would it still be that long?
I have no idea. The line was out the door when I got here. It took me, like I said, 40 minutes to get to a number. You show your documents, and the guy goes, "Wow, you're really in luck. You only have 38 people in front of you. That should be like an hour and a half." So I'm lucky.
See, it just that attitude. I mean, how many times the rush is over with this stuff, Dan? It's just if the Republican Party can't capitalize on this, you know, it's the same thing with the airports. It brings me back when we were going to go to Charleston, and I had to either get that or something else. I got the phone call at 2:20. I was going to go on Saturday. I got it on a Friday here on the air. It was like, what a blessing. The real ID nightmare. Oh, God. Oh.
Well, the one good thing is I'm actually able to sit here and listen to the show as it rolls on. So that's actually a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish they would pipe it over there. I could be screaming here at the PennDOT there. But, you know, they're following orders. They're following the direction of the Shapiro administration. So that's the way it is.
You mentioned Shapiro. Who was the gentleman that mentioned Josh and he stole somebody's ID in high school, right? He's that guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that was most likely to steal your ID and jump in front of you in high school. It was Greg Rothman, who's the head of the Republicans in Pennsylvania, who said it.
I think I've got a better way to describe him. I don't know, and I'll use you as a barometer. He's probably one of the sharpest knives in the drawer, which is why I would never stand in front of him in the lunch line.
Yeah, he is. My jousting with him prove exactly what you said. So, Dan, what's your side today?
Mine goes back to the 18th century. I'm going to go Earl of Diconi for you on a second. I know you like Jonas Salk and what he did with polio virus. This guy, actually, he's named as the savior of mothers because prior to what he found, which was, hey, if we're operating on cadavers, if we just wash our hands and then we go deliver babies, how about that? There's no infections afterwards. And the part that I wanted to be there for is not necessarily recognizing that fact. The doctor said, oh, you're crazy. They ostracized him. They threw him in an insane asylum. And then he died because somebody hit him over the head while he was on prison walk, got an infection, and died. Before we recognized washing hands was a way to not transmit disease.
Absolutely. That's great. And his name is?
His I don't know how to pronounce the beginning. Ignaz Semmelweis. I don't know Ignaz. Ignaz Semmelweis.
Wow. Perfect, Dan. Good luck there. Thank you, Dan. Look, I can't tell you how much I appreciate when you get a call like that, a guy in the jam there with the real ID, et cetera. That's, you know, that's what talk radio, that's what we live for. That's the connection. That's the community here. All right, that's a good one, though. Imagine a guy saying, wash your hands. After you're working on cadavers, then you're going to be working on moms. Unbelievable. All right, so it's 855-839-1210. Maybe Larry the K can't find travelers yet that are anti-ICE. I bet they brought a bunch load of protesters with them anyhow. He's at the airport. And again, you know, he doesn't care about how intemperate, insufferable he is. He wants to get wound up and to say wild stuff. And there's enough of an audience here in Philadelphia for him. We've seen that in three elections now to put that out. They're wild about this guy. They can't get enough of the idea that you, and of course, he's taken all the credit in the world. I mean, what has Larry Krasner done since the record of 500 murders in Philadelphia? Or is it more at the national level? Two things have happened in Philadelphia, the national level, the FBI and the Trump administration, but Police Commissioner Bethel has done great work as a police commissioner. Couldn't they be the reasons why we're seeing better results in Philadelphia than we did before? What has Krasner done exactly to relieve crime in Philadelphia? And the answer is not much. He continues doing the same things. We've seen it again and again and again. So we'll go to that once he starts and give you a little flavor of it. But my gut says this will make news because this will be a big rollout with ICE actually walking around. Imagine being those ICE officers having to walk around with one of the most virulent lefties, prosecutors out there threatening you. And threatening, I mean, this would be worthy of Tom Homan knew it, to show up at the airport and be commanding the troops here as Krasner goes after them. I don't know, per se, there have been some protesters at the airports, but they've been mainly outside. We played you some people screaming Nazis in the New York airports at ICE agents as they walk around. I'm not sure of an elected official, though, holding a news conference with a bunch of socialists, Working Families Party, and bringing in people who claim they're so triggered and offended by ICE being at the airport. But that's what's happening here in Philadelphia. And it tells me this guy potentially is running against Sherelle Parker, who, to her credit on this, has not gone down that path. Krasner has. All right, here's a little bit of Larry Krasner at the airport.
All right. Everybody ready? Good afternoon. As the chief law enforcement officer in the city of Philadelphia, my oath is to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
Really?
It is to improve public safety. It is to protect people and to protect their rights.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a new development here with the deployment of ICE agents in Philadelphia and elsewhere throughout the country. And it is very important to me to make sure that what is happening in this airport, in a welcoming city, in this airport in a constitutional city. It's very important to me to make sure that it's proper and that it's appropriate. So, I have a message for the good people, and there are a lot of good people who work for ICE as agents. Keep your oath. Uphold the United States Constitution. Uphold the laws. Keep your oath. It does not matter whether I personally approve of policies that you are following. It does not matter whether people view your actions as being immoral. And I do view mass deportation in the United States carried out in this fashion as immoral. That does not matter for my job. My job is to enforce the law. So this is how that works, because I know there have been efforts to confuse you, including by the Vice President of the United States. This is how it works. You commit crimes within the jurisdiction that is the city and county of Philadelphia, I prosecute you. That is how it works. No, I don't take a phone call from the president saying let him go. No, the president cannot pardon you. I'll say it again. The president cannot pardon you. And yes, I will put you in handcuffs, and I will put you in a courtroom, and if necessary, I will put you in a jail cell. If you decide to make the terrazzo floor of this airport anything like what you did in the streets of Minneapolis, which involved the criminal homicide of unarmed, innocent people. We are not having that here. But let me go back to all ICE agents who are going to keep their oath, who are going to follow the law and uphold the Constitution of the United States. Thank you for keeping your oath. To any agent who might think about doing it an illegal way, I'll be seeing you in court. And you're not going to like it, because the Philly jury is not going to like what you did if it is illegal. That's kind of how it works here in Philly. We got a lot of love. We're a welcoming city, but we don't welcome people to come here and commit crimes. That's not what we do. I'm here right now, obviously, on the arrival side. I'm going to be heading over to the departure side, hopefully joined by an ally in city council or two. Obviously, city council has been very outspoken about how much they want to make sure that the integrity of the city is preserved. So let me just simplify by saying this. ICE, play nice. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're connected. I don't care if you're famous. I don't care if you got a badge. I don't care if you don't. The law will apply equally and even-handedly to all of you. And yes, oh yes, the United States Constitution and the laws of the United States and the laws of Pennsylvania make it very clear that the District Attorney of Philadelphia is able to hold you accountable for crimes that you commit within the city and county of Philadelphia.
All right, there's the crass. Now, the terrazzo floor is a nice line there. That's from the airport. Sure, city council, if there's anything they really get fired up, we'll mention that. But just think of the insufferable nature of this guy, that he is able to talk about enforcing the law when that's the last thing in the world that he does. And yet, when it comes to threatening ICE at the airport, minding their own business, doing their job lawfully, this is the grandstand play. He also talked about don't let them confuse you with any of this, and how his comments, mass deportation is immoral. So having the country overrun by a bunch of people here illegally, draining resources, often committing crimes because they get away with that illegal behavior, that's not immoral to Larry Krasner. The immorality of what? Of having our laws and our sovereignty. Love to get your reaction. This at the airport, the first time that ICE has been there. I have to say, in the beginning, he tempered his tone a little bit in making this point versus what he said before. But 855-839-1210, we'll continue to take your calls too on something that is a breakthrough, being there at a moment of a breakthrough. 855-839-1210. 1210.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Giordano on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
All right, I'm coming to your calls. We'll squeeze all that in and get a winner. But the great man is taking questions. Here's Larry Krasner, more at the airport.
So there's a very long history of the public using its constitutional rights, including the First Amendment right to video or photograph law enforcement officers in the performance of their duties in public spaces. We need to do that. We need to keep doing that. And the lesson is really quite obvious. That is the only way we know about what happened on the Edmund Pettus Bridge so many years ago and the beatdown that occurred on the other side. That is the only way we really know the details of what happened to Alex Preti.
Delta, I'm booking our passengers arriving on Delta flight.
And
that's 2279 on Atlanta or Jacksonville.
Delta, remember, you can't skip the line if you're in Congress. Hey, Larry, Delta, Delta, Larry. Come on, Larry.
Just a reminder.
Just a reminder, Larry.
His face turned. He's so annoyed.
YouTube.com/1210 WPHD. Oh, okay.
The only way we know about what happened.
Okay, we get the point on this. Henry will tell me if there's another. Here's the point, Larry. No one's objecting to them filming and all that. That's not what we're objecting to. We're objecting to them getting into it with ICE and confronting them. And you're trying to agitate toward doing this at the airport. I'm looking at ICE in one airport location, giving out water bottles to a mom and a child getting inside there, giving out hundreds of them. This is what Republicans ought to be doing. I should have asked Greg Rothman about that. But Republicans ought to be there. In the morning, coffee and a donut. Scott Presler would do it. We've talked about this. It's up to the local Republican Party. When we have Alante McCauley on, if I put him up to it on Thursday, he'll be out there at the airport doing it. This is a way to win hearts and minds, and ICE is doing that. And Larry Krasner is just agitating for people to be filming them again, doxing them ultimately. All right, let me take a couple callers, and we'll get you on the side. Big John in Huntington Valley. Hello, John. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dom. I miss talking to you. Yeah, listen to the conversation. You know, ICE. You know, the thing at the airports, I'll be brief. ICE has overstayed its welcome under the Stephen Miller, Christy Noem set of rules and regs. And whatever, even if at the airport, they're not doing anything overtly, I don't know, physical, unlawful, unconstitutional, they've already overstayed their welcome. And I do believe that Trump is setting the stage so that people just find it normal to have militarization all over and everywhere as a platform for doing this during the midterms. What are your thoughts?
Well, no, John, I don't think we're going to do that. And I wouldn't advise. And guys like Steve Bannon ought to shut up about that. That wouldn't be appropriate. Thank you, John. And what they're doing at the airport is helping. So I would put the TSA people, ask them if they want to join ICE. They get better paid and they get paid now. What they're doing is taking down the waiting time. That's what's happening here. And the Steve Bannons of the world, look, I've had them on. Shut up about this, doing it during election time. We're not going to do that. Jim and Bala, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jim.
Hi. I just listened to this Larry Krasner piece. He is a articulate, arrogant liar, and that makes him very dangerous. His statements are provocative, and if he had any shred of honesty, he would put himself in jail because he hasn't done his job.
Well, exactly right. Imagine this guy who is Let Him Loose Larry pontificating with ICE just walking around the airport there and threatening them. That's exactly right.
Now the thing, having ICE there, even in this... just having a presence does serve a purpose. For one, the population of these long lines of people are at risk because they technically are a soft target for a terrorist act because no one's screening before those lines form. So if somebody wanted to really cause a problem,
right,
they could attack that. Now, if there's security present, even ICE standing around, that would discourage anybody from trying that.
Exactly,
Jim. So there's a purpose for them just standing there.
Thank you, Jim. That's a good point. And, you know, look at these people. They're being paid, and they're just walking around and all. You try being an ICE officer. I'm still on the mask. I still don't want them doxxed, but I get it. Trump is looking at the optics of this. They're winning hearts and minds. The question we ought to be asking, though, any one of these people I have on, where are the Republicans? Get the resources out there. You know, treat these people to something nice. Be a little bit creative with it in the morning, these rushes in every one of these cities. And tell them, we're with you. We have your back. And certainly by seeing ICE there and what they're doing, that helps. Any more questions for the great man, Henry, in your judgment, or no? He's exhausted.
Nothing crazy.
Okay,
yeah.
But the stunt of going there and facing off with ICE, this guy's running for mayor, is what I believe. And he's trying to contrast this with Sherelle Parker. All right, Joe of Exton on our side question. Joe, what do you have today?
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
My breakthrough moment is the episode in World War II when the Italian population turned on its dictator and executed Mussolini and his mistress, an event which signaled a change in the fortune of the Allies in their attempt to keep Italy out of the hands of the German Nazis.
All right, thank you, Joe. We always go back to Italy with Joe. Yes, hanging them upside down, the partisans at that gas station in Milan. Robert in Bensalem. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dom, Henry, good to talk to you guys today.
Same here. A little tip of the hat, too, coordinating this, Henry, with Larry Krasner at the airport is tricky. You know, we don't want just a little pontificating. Is that mic on and all that stuff with him? It's a lot to get him on here.
Well, Henry is awesome. I wish he ran the YouTube channel because it crashed.
It did crash. Yeah.
And who's in charge of that? I want that. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But I'll get right to the answer, Dom. You know that we talk all the time about how insulated people are here in the well-to-do suburbs when it comes to the advancement of socialism in America.
Right.
So what I would like to do is not go back and enjoy an invention, but I would like to go back and stop an invention. I would like to go back to the bar in England in 1848 where Marx and Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto and crashed the party. Now, understand, Engels was from rich people, and he was a philosopher who spent his whole life in college, okay? And Marx, who wanted to rally with the workers of the world, never worked a day in his life. He literally sponged off the rich elites in England while he wrote the Communist Manifesto. And if that doesn't highlight what communism and socialism is all about, I don't know what to tell you, because he sponged off the rich while wrote how the workers of the world should unite to overthrow the rich. The rich tolerated that because it sounded good and it sounded pleasant, just like they do out in the suburbs today. So over the last 180 years, Dom, nothing's really changed except for the advancement of this warped ideology. And I'll leave it there. And you guys have a great day. I really love the show, Dom.
Thank you, Robert. Boy, it makes it tough today. These are great calls today. It is the lightning round next to determine this. 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, Dom Giordano's show. Breaking news here. President Trump, with the swearing in of Mark Wayne Mullen, is stating that Iran agreed to no nuclear weapons. We'll see how this plays out, but we're sending, I believe, 3,000 more troops, 82nd Airborne and the like, to the region. So things are moving toward a conclusion here, but now the wrangling will really start. The big question is it worth it? How will this hold, et cetera? And dealing with Iran, you know how difficult that is. That's where we are. It's pretty clear of that movement. The only bad sign is Saudi Arabia and UAE wanting to continue the fight. I don't think they want to put forces into it, though. So they're egging things on. All right, let's go to Phil in Delaware. Phil on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Happy New Year. What a great one.
Well, thank you, Phil.
You know what? You as my mentor, and I keep beating it to death, but you're 1,000,000% right. The guy is like Groundhog Day. Every time you listen to him, you lose track of what day it is because it's the same craziness.
Yeah, it is.
The only difference.
Go ahead, Phil.
No, I was going to say the only difference is today, I tell you what, I would pay $1,000 if he gets arrested. I want a picture of the ICE worker along with him autographed by you.
Thank you, Phil. I would pay to do that, to do the autographing and be part of this. The guy is beyond insufferable. He's a bad face for Philadelphia. He's running for mayor against Parker, and he's running to the left of her, and I'd give him an even shot at winning. That's how bad it is.
I was hoping that he would get arrested today.
I hear you. What's your side, Phil?
Well, actually, I didn't have one. I just wanted to interject that.
Okay.
We need him arrested.
I had nothing to fear here down for you. So
that's what he said earlier.
Yeah. Zenos in Upper Darby on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Zenos.
Hello, Dom. Happy New Year to everybody over
there.
All right,
there we go. Thank you.
Dom, I'm going to have to start real fast because I know we're limited for time. Is the invention of Rogaine for hair, and it came through high blood pressure medicine, which even my daddy, his follicles were starting to stick out of his head, and that was one of the inventions. And it did. Yes, it did. And I said, yo, Pop, you're starting to grow hair. He goes, what the hell are you talking about? I'm bald. But you could actually see them, the follicles. And may I make one comment about this jerk that's in the DA?
Yes.
You know, Dom, he said a lot of stuff, and he talked about the Pettus Bridge. You know, he's forgetting that it was his party that were putting down black people in the South, the Democrats. You know, it's funny how they forget that.
Well, and let's underline that on that Sunday. They're the ones that came in, storming in on horseback, whipping, attacking people, beating people to death. Democrats. That's exactly right.
And that's this party. They keep forgetting that. It was their party that put down everybody and anybody else they didn't like or tolerated. They only tolerated us, Dom. They didn't really like us either.
Yeah, so I think those guys in the South would call me an Italian. And you, Zenos, I'm not sure what would happen to you. Yeah,
right.
You're right.
Yeah, well, they'll probably put us all in the same class, Dom.
Exactly. So, I got to run, but Rogaine, we got you. Sorry. Jerry in Wilmington. Jerry, what's yours?
Hey, Dom. Happy Cheesesteak Day. It's appropriate that Pat and Harry Oliveri grilled some beef up and onions in the 30s and put it on a roll and started the cheesesteak. And I could really use one now, I'll tell you.
All right. Be there at the first moment of the first cheesesteak. Loretta in Bucks County. All right, Loretta, what's yours?
I wanted to point out the part in the movie about the life of Helen Keller.
Right.
Where she finally realized what her teacher was trying to teach her by making motions and drawing in her hand. She finally, they always had the power struggles. She finally realized that she was teaching her how to communicate and that each of those symbols meant a word or a concept or a thing, and it opened up her whole world to her at that point. The Miracle Worker, they made that movie with Patty Duke and Anne Bancroft.
Well put, and just one of the most inspirational stories. You know, that's a story you got to let alone. Don't be a naysayer and tell us, you know, all kinds of things trying to tear it down.
Uh-oh.
Don't.
Don't
do that with Helen Keller, because a lot of it is true. If not the totality of this, there's a lot there. So I'm still Cesar Chavez rewriting history. Arguably, that's correct to be doing. But boy, you know. Who can withstand this?
It might have been a grifter. Who knows?
I don't think so. Joe in Bordentown. Joe, what's yours?
Mine is Ken Stabler's holy roller during a game where he pretended to fumble the ball and rolled it into the end zone for Dave Casper.
All right. Kind of a random one. Earl, kind of low on time, but you were shouted out today by Dan in Richboro. What's yours?
Well, like Beetlejuice, call my name and I show up.
Yeah.
But my answer is to be with Frederick Banting, who was a Canadian doctor who extracted the first pure insulin that was available. And on January 11th, 1922, there was 14-year-old Leonard Thompson who was dying of diabetes. And they gave him an injection. The first one was contaminated. They gave him a second injection, and he was miraculously cured of his diabetes. And to actually just watch someone that's just lying in a hospital dying to actually just come back to life with just a simple injection.
All right. Thank you, Earl. All right. I have one in mind here that was on, well, maybe not. I think it was a great call under the circumstances. What do you say, Kirk?
I say Steve in Bourne-Town with Viagra. I hope I'm
that
right.
That was a great, No, that was very good.
Okay.
But I had another one, but that's,
okay.
Yeah. Henry, how about yours?
Yeah, I second Steve's call. I also like Jerry and Wilmington's with the cheesesteak. That would have been a nice moment. And then why not Loretta and Bucks with the aha moment teaching Helen Keller.
All right. Mm-hmm. I got to go with Dan in Richboro with the hand washing because it comes back to the original premise of who wouldn't have thought of that, the thing that you found yesterday about this living generate. Yeah, so let's go with Dan.
All right.
And thank you, Dan. I hope you got the real ID by now. All right. Tomorrow, load it up with great stuff. Fred Herron will be on the show breaking down what's happening in Quakertown and also ice in the airport. Maybe more of Larry the K. Thanks for listening today and all the good stuff. And Zenos is right. It was the Democrat Party on that bridge. It was in the South. Democrats. Absolutely. All right. The afternoon show is next. Follow on Twitter at DomShow1210 at DomShow1210. We'll see you tomorrow at noon until 3. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.